We would like to welcome you back to this edition of the Darting Through the Faith podcast. And I am one of your hosts, your co-host, if you will, Father Sean Wilson. And with me is the other co-host, Mrs. Julia Monin. Julia, how are you this fine afternoon?
What is that? What is that?
Oh, I'm hosting the 6 p.m. news.
Oh, my God. Oh, is this like professional? Is this like calming? Is this like a calm voice? Is it?
It was an imitation of the 6 p.m. news.
Okay. You know?
Welcome back to the 6 p.m. news with
Conkrite?
Walter Conkrite. But I'm trying to think of who. Walter Conkrite. I don't either.
Dang. Well, you got me.
That was a different one?
That was way different.
Okay.
And I don't even know what to say. Wow. Did you say our names? I honestly did. I don't
you
know
are Mrs. Julia Monin.
Oh, okay.
I almost added your middle name in there, but I didn't know if you're keeping that so people can't, I don't know, steal your identity something like that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Sure. Thank you. That's kind of
you. You got it. It's kind of do me tell them your social security number, though.
It's probably out there already.
Probably.
So, probably all of ours are.
So, yeah, probably. Yeah.
Right. So what you been doing on your time off?
My time off? Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. This past week I have... I'm in a land down under right now, Georgia.
Actually, no, I just meant your time off between episodes.
Oh, between episodes. Yeah. Where this is the second filming two in a row. So I thought we were like imaginary we're recording two in a row because I'm on vacation next week.
This will come off come out on the Friday you are.
I'm gone.
Gone on vacation.
Right, so
will you be in Georgia at this point or will you be up north?
On Friday, I'll be in Connecticut.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, I might be in New York City.
All right.
Yeah.
So New York City.
I'm actually meeting my younger brother and his wife and daughter in New York City.
Nice.
For basically 24 hours. Uh-huh. Just.
Have you planned your visit yet? You know what you're doing once you're there?
Minimally. Sure. Yeah. We have some ideas. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sure.
We're going to celebrate Mass right over the tomb of St. Francis Xavier Cabrini.
Okay.
So got approval to do that.
Nice.
And so that's exciting.
That's great.
We'd like to go to an observation deck and just kind of see the world from the heights. And there's one not too far from the hotel we're staying at. So that'll be pretty exciting.
Yeah.
And then we want to go see the 9/11 stuff.
Sure.
Yeah. World Trade Center. Right. So that's kind of the gist of it. We'll probably, I don't know. We're like, we got to eat something that you can't get normally, you know, because there's so much stuff. So we might go with New York style pizza.
Yeah. Right.
Just kidding.
Right.
Eat something maybe a little bit more.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I'm thinking Elf again. Santa says, "Which one is the original pizza?" But I can't remember that quote. But anyway, make sure you hit that one.
We should.
That's good. Well, that sounds like a great trip.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we'll be at their house and kind of all that sort of fun stuff. So
good.
Yep.
Good.
Yeah, it'd be great. Be great. Good. And even you know, we got sent a video, so I guess it's all. My sister-in-law is expecting a baby boy, so that's exciting.
I got a video
of their daughter cutting up a cake, blue cake, so that's exciting.
Yeah. Oh, congratulations.
Yeah.
The whole Wilson family.
The whole Wilson family.
That's so great.
Yep.
Yay.
Yep.
How
pretty
is
exciting.
Little Nora?
How's she doing
with it?
So she was cutting into the cake. Yeah, she'll be two in April.
Okay.
She was cutting into the cake, seemed more concerned that there was cake.
Yes.
Right? So she was just eating cake. They're like, Nora, you're going to have a baby brother. Eating cake.
Right.
You know, like, that's so far from now, right? Mm-hmm. That's like a quarter of her life away.
Right.
You know, it's like, I might have got time to worry about that when there's cake.
There's cake.
Yeah. So
right.
She's doing great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. That's exciting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you exciting news?
Sure.
That is public knowledge. I just found out it was public knowledge yesterday.
Okay.
I'm going to be a great aunt.
You're going to be a great aunt?
Yes.
Wow.
Isn't that exciting?
That is exciting.
I feel like that's a whole different level of old, but I'm very excited about
it. A great aunt. Yeah.
Right.
Your niece, Erin?
Yes.
Okay.
I had two nieces get married this past year, 2023, but yeah.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
I know, isn't that great?
That is.
So
that is
I'm sure
great.
She's very excited. I just announced it on here, but I was officially told it was public knowledge.
So. Okay. Okay.
So
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. It's great.
Cool.
I was talking to my in-laws about, you know, them being great. This will be their first great grandchild and how exciting that is. And then I thought, no, wait, what does that make me? Oh, I'm going to be a great aunt.
A great aunt.
That's a thing. And I'm going to be one. So
congratulations.
July, I think she's due.
Okay. You've been kind of researching what makes a great aunt great?
I just put it together like this morning that oh, what this makes me. Okay. I knew what it made everybody else. Okay. I just put it together what it makes me. So
right.
Yeah, I haven't thought about it.
Wow. Yeah, I'll
have to do some great thinking.
Some great thinking. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You should.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyway, exciting stuff.
Great. Congratulations.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. It's a big deal.
Yeah. You think you get like a shirt made?
A lot
made?
To do with it.
Yeah. A shirt made like I just got promoted to great aunt.
Something like that.
Wonderful aunts become great aunts.
Yeah.
About that. Something like that.
Like that.
That sounds
maybe
like
a
nice
button.
Tag. Yes.
My husband gave a lot of buttons away this year for Christmas.
Okay.
With his mug on them or with a really goofy picture of him that yeah. said like world's best godfather. So all his godchildren got
that's weird.
A button that said world's best godfather.
Yeah. I haven't seen any of those around. I would think people would be wearing them.
I would strange. Think that too. I'll have to talk to his godchildren.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Right. Hmm. Well, I have to say that some of them then requested world's best godmother ones. And so I did put my goofy mug on.
Really?
A button too, world's best godmother. Just,
wow.
for, the, just for the little ones.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen any of those around either.
Well, they don't technically have them yet. Those are still at my house.
Oh.
So I haven't
did
seen
you make
them
any
since
extras?
Christmas. No.
Oh, okay.
You want like world's best friend? You want one with Tony and I? Mm. Like one of each? You can wear them together?
Yeah, sure. That'd be great. That'd be great. That'd be something else.
You already have a mug with his mug on it.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Right.
It's a. It, anyway. Drink good coffee out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like pictures that look like this. They're so goofy. Anyway. Anyway, we had fun. We had fun.
That is wonderful.
So, yeah, maybe a button. World's greatest great aunt. What was that you said earlier that was really good? Something about wonderful aunts become great aunts.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I think I saw it where like somebody, when they were announced being grandparents, it mm-hmm. says wonderful parents get promoted to grandparents or something like that, you know.
Yeah,
and right. First grandchild will just, you know, mm-hmm. parents just, oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. I remember that announcement for my parents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did they announce it to you?
Oh, no, no, no. Yeah, my brother and sister-in-law came up from Georgia. Mm-hmm. So this is Georgia. While my parents were still mm-hmm. in Ohio, they came up for Christmas. So they came up the day after Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And seemingly out of character, you know, like as soon as they get in from the airplane, they're like, hey, let's open presents.
Oh, yeah, we're ready.
I mean, I'm ready to open presents, but like... You don't like need a drink of water, go to the bathroom, anything like that. Put your stuff down. No, let's just open presents.
Let's do this.
Right? Yeah.
Right.
So,
oh,
yeah.
Good.
I opened mine. I was the first one to open mm-hmm. because I'm really good at opening presents.
Sure.
Yeah. And I had a t-shirt in there that said Uncle Sean. I was like, oh!
Yes. Right. Aw.
Yeah.
That's so exciting.
It was. It was. That was many a year ago.
That's exciting.
9 years ago now. Wow.
So I announced to my family, and my dad plays this, announced it at Easter, and my dad plays this fun game with all of us where it's like, he has different eggs and prizes, and you have a number, and you pick an egg, and you either get cash or you get a goofy prize, and these are like goofy prizes, boxes. Mm. And every once again, somebody will get a bonus gift. So the bonus gift that year was my ultrasound.
Oh.
And so it was like, who's going to get the bonus gift? Who's going to get the bonus gift? And so my younger brother got the bonus gift and went up and opened. And my family is very fertile. Is that a nice way to say it? We have lots of babies. And so I think at first he was kind of terrified.
That it was his ultrasound?
Right. It was like,
or his wife's
what
ultrasound?
Right. But then it was very exciting. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Right. Right.
That's exciting.
So that was exciting. Like, whose is this? Everybody was looking at everybody else. No one was expecting me. So, but it was good. It was very exciting stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that was fun.
Cool.
Way back in 2017 already.
Wow.
Dang.
Many moons ago.
It was. Wow. Okay. Baby excitement. That's great. Mm-hmm. New life. Beautiful.
Woo!
And ties perfectly into what we're talking about today, with it, which is our
death.
Last judgment.
Judgment.
And our birth into eternal life.
There you
go.
Right. There it is.
Yeah, so.
Well, we should pray then.
Let's do it.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we ask that you may prepare all of us, myself, all of us gathered here, all of those listening, for our entrance into eternity. We ask that you may help us keep one eye focused on our own judgment so that we may live well, so that we may follow you with all of our hearts, so that we may shed our sins, our attachments, and that we may grow in holiness. We entrust this time into your care, to the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, all the angels and saints, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so we are 10:38 to 10:51. Is that right? No, 10:50. 10:38 to 10:50. Hope and the Last Judgment.
Yeah.
So where are we at in the catechism, actually?
So we're wrapping up the part, the first section on the creed. So when we talk about, I believe in the resurrection of the dead and life of the world to come. So what are we talking about with these end times, so to speak?
Nice. So. This has, again, like our title, it has the two sections. The Last Judgment is 10:38 through 10:41. And then we jump into the hope of the new heaven and the new earth, which is 10:42 to 10:50.
Isn't that great?
It is great. So beginning in 10:38, the resurrection of all the dead, of both the just and the unjust, will precede the Last Judgment. This will be the hour when all who are in the tombs will hear the Son of Man's voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Then Christ will come in his glory, and all the angels with him. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep at his right, but the goats at the left. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life.
So where does the church come up with these ideas, right, about last judgment, about the resurrection of the dead? Well, it comes from Scripture, of course. So that a lot of what you read was from Matthew 25, right, the parable of the sheep and the goats and all of that. But some of it comes from the Acts of the Apostles. Some of it comes from St. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. Mm-hmm. So basically, the church takes all of this information that about the end of time, about the last judgment, about the resurrection of the dead, and has to say, okay, how does all this work? If all of this is true, how does it all fit together? And so it starts off with the resurrection of the dead. So at the end of time, as Christ comes again, all the dead will rise again. So our bodies are not like prisons that we escape. No, we'll have a resurrected body. And there's even that line, I think it's somewhere in St. Paul, like, we don't know what we will be, but we will be like him, so we shall see him as he is. Mm. And so what do? We look at Jesus's resurrected body, that in some ways it follows the laws of physics, right? People can touch him, right? He's not a ghost. He's not a mirage. He can eat. Yet the laws of physics are kind of like, not a big deal, right? He just kind of shows up at random places. He walks through and enters into a locked door. So that's what we have to look forward to, Jesus' resurrection. So, yeah.
Do you think he had a bobby pin?
Probably not for his hair.
To get in that locked door?
To get in the locked door, yeah, picking the lock. No, he didn't need to. The door was still locked, we hear.
Right.
It's not that he unlocked it.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you have any fish? Or do you have anything to eat? Mm-hmm. That's what Jesus asks. Mm-hmm. I always thought that would be another one of my bishop's mottos. Yeah. Come have breakfast and have you anything to eat?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And pour me a drink.
Oh, I was going to say the one about you're my friend if you do as I say.
Well, that one too. Yeah. Gosh. Yeah.
So many good options.
So many good options. Yeah. How will I ever decide?
Mm-hmm. Are you laughing at the thought of you being a bishop someday?
That's just so ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah.
It's
good. They don't make mitres big enough for my big old, you know, prideful, arrogant head.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right. 10:39. In the presence of Christ, who is truth itself, the truth of each man's relationship with God will be laid bare. Well, that will be what judgment is, right? You think about this, and judgment is just such the perfect term for it. Mm-hmm. Because what happens in a court case, everything gets laid before the judge, right? Mm. All of the proof, all of the evidence, good things, bad things, incriminating evidence, supporting evidence, all these things get laid bare about our relationship with the Lord, right? So that shouldn't cause fear. It should cause conversion, right? To say, okay, all of this is going to be laid bare and made plain on the day of my judgment. Okay, well, I should do things that's going to be a good thing, right? Like I should grow in holiness. I should grow in love of God and of love of my neighbor, right? There's going to be no hiding, right? There's going to be like, hey, could I explain myself? I'm sorry, your actions speak louder than words, right? So that's what happens at the Last Judgment.
I thought this was really beautiful too, not to even, because that can be a frightening thought to think about that, right?
Yeah.
To think of everything and nothing will be hidden and everything is going to be revealed. This is why it's so important for us to come to know who Christ truly is as our merciful Savior, to truly know his mercy so that we're not hiding in fear like Adam and Eve when they first ate the fruit, right? And where were they? They were hiding, so that we're not that, so that we have full confidence of his mercy, right? And not in a presumptuous way, like, hey, you said you had this, so I gave up a long time ago. I wasn't even trying. But you know, not that that fear that wants to overtake us is not able to to strangle us or suffocate us. But I love that this is that, you know, in the presence of Christ, who is truth itself, the truth of each man's relationship with God will be laid bare. This idea that we are meant to be in relationship with God. And what does that look like? Are you living in a relationship with Him?
The truth of our relationship, first thing, hopefully it exists.
Right.
It's a good start.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
And so then there's like the when this happens. The last judgment will come when Christ returns in glory, and only the Father knows the day or the hour. There's been many people since Jesus ascended into heaven that have said when the day, when the hour will come, up into our own day and age, where people say Christ is coming soon or the world's going to end or whatever. But only the Father knows. Like even Jesus says he doesn't know, that he only knows the things that he needs to know, which is most things. But for whatever reason, this is something that only the Lord knows, the Father. So, and that's good.
It's real good.
We don't need to know that.
We don't.
Right? If I knew the day or the hour when I was going to die, well, things would be weird for me and for everybody else. So I would make them weird.
Trying to imagine things weirder.
Huh?
Trying to imagine things weirder than what they already are. But they could. They could. Right. Okay.
Always could.
Right. So only the Father knows the day and the hour. Only the Father. Okay. The message of the last judgment calls men to conversion while God is still giving them the acceptable time, the day of salvation. It inspires a holy fear of God and commits them to the justice of the kingdom of God. It proclaims the blessed hope of the Lord's return, when he will come to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at in all who have believed. So a time that certainly is a time of importance, right? We don't want to like downplay the importance, but one that we should be looking forward to in hope, which is what we profess in our creed, and not in fear and confusion. And we, you know, and we see that panicky sort of response, especially with people who maybe struggle with that in the end times and needing to know when that is, or they follow a lot of things that are claiming to this is the end. Like you see that initially, what's the fruit of all of that fear?
Right.
Which isn't a fruit that the Lord tells us to look for when it's coming from him.
Right. Yeah. Right. So he will come to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at. So it will be a glorious thing, right? It's not like he's coming to punish and just like looking whose butt he can kick, but he's actually looking, he's coming in glory for all of us to behold his power, his majesty, his love. Excuse me.
Okay, so that was the section on the last judgment. And then we go into the hope of the new heaven and the new earth. At the end of time, the kingdom of God will come in its fullness. After the universal judgment, the righteous will reign forever with Christ, glorified in body and soul. The universe itself will be renewed. Yeah?
So he'll renew this whole heaven and earth. Yeah? Behold, he makes all things new.
Sacred scripture calls this mysterious renewal, which will transform humanity and the world, new heavens and a new earth. It will be the definitive realization of God's plan to bring under a single head all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. Yeah.
So all of this will be under, like the Lord is going, or Jesus Christ is going to be the one in charge of all this, right? He's the head of the church now, and he'll be the head of this new creation, the new earth. And you see this throughout the book of Revelation, like who's in charge of the book of Revelation? Well, the Father's guiding everything, but this mysterious Lamb, who is of course Christ, who's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But this is where everything's fulfilled, right? The definite realization is what we just heard. So there's no more mystery, right? There's no more like kind of, oh, what's happening? How is this working in God's providence? It's like, boom, whole picture laid bare for us.
In this new universe, the heavenly Jerusalem, God will have his dwelling among men. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.
That's interesting because those two is just two quotes from the book of Revelation, literally back-to-back verses that they just flipped their order. So just a little bit, you know, let's just talk about the scriptures, right? The new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem. The Lord always dwells in Jerusalem. It's this place special to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so it's not like he's just going to wipe that out, but there'll be the new Jerusalem where God's dwelling, where we're all gathered to worship, worship the Lamb.
For man, this consummation will be the final realization of the unity of the human race, which God willed from creation and of which the pilgrim church has been in the nature of sacrament. Those who are united with Christ will form the community of the redeemed, the holy city of God, the bride, the wife of the Lamb. She will not be wounded any longer by sin, stains, self-love that destroy or wound the earthly community. The beatific vision in which God opens himself in an inexhaustible way to the elect will be the ever-flowing wellspring of happiness, peace, and mutual communion.
That sounds great.
That sounds really great.
Doesn't that sound great? Mm-hmm. So what will happen for us as human beings in this new heaven and new earth is we'll be fully revealed as the family of God, right? Mm-hmm. As this unity that exists, that any self-love, any stains, any sin, any wounds will be healed. Mm-hmm. And so all of us will be gathered together. And you look at, like, that's been the hope since Cain killed Abel, really, and maybe ever since Adam and Eve started pointing the finger at each other, as this division enters into humanity. And so what the Lord will definitively gather us together in this new heavens, new earth, is his bride, the church. Mm. Can't wait.
I love how, too, how this reminds us that God willed this from creation, and of which the pilgrim church has been in the nature of sacrament, like this reminder of the church being this witness of it in the nature of sacrament, even now.
Right. The church is like this prefigurement of the eternal unity of humanity in the church, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the church is never supposed to be like different strokes for different folks, right? Just find your kind of way, right? Whatever you want, eat. And the differences are real, but that's not the way it's supposed to be, right? Like, the Lord actually wants to gather us all together into his body. Mm-hmm. And so that'll definitively happen in heaven. Mm-hmm. Which is why we can't wait for it.
So not only is man renewed, as we said earlier, the cosmos as well. And this is a paragraph 1046. For the cosmos, revelation affirms the profound common destiny of the material world and man. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God in hope, because the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay. We know that the whole creation has been groaning and traveled together until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies.
Creation's groaning out to be perfected. Mm-hmm. And we groan for creation to be perfected too. It's like, wouldn't it be great if there were no more tornadoes? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be great if there were no more hurricanes, right? So creation in some ways is at a war with itself and with us. And so that's the definitive end to that in heaven, right? So there will be no sub-zero temperatures in heaven.
Mm-hmm. It is cold right now in Ohio.
'Tis cold as we record this.
The visible universe then is itself destined to be transformed so that the world itself, restored to its original state, facing no further obstacles, should be at the service of the just, sharing their glorification in the risen Jesus Christ.
So the Bible, the story of salvation, begins with the garden, right? So familiarly, the Garden of Eden. And then at the end of the book of Revelation is a new garden. Mm-hmm. So it's basically restored, right? What the whole path that God's doing is restoring us to the garden, bringing us back to the garden. Mm-hmm. And that battle in some ways of bringing us back to the garden is definitively won by Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? Where he accepts his role to suffer and die. Not that he hadn't before, but he's got to really reconfirm it there in that battle that exists within his soul. So to bring us back to the garden, that's ultimately the goal, to restore us to our original state, as that 1047 says.
And then again, what we said earlier, we know neither the moment of the consummation of the earth and of man, nor the way in which the universe will be transformed. The form of this world distorted by sin is passing away, and we are taught that God is preparing a new dwelling and a new earth in which righteousness dwells, in which happiness will fill and surpass all the desires of peace arising in the hearts of men. Right.
Yeah. So we don't know the time, and we don't know the way, right? We don't know how this will happen. Mm-hmm. We don't know if he'll, how the Lord will renew the earth, but he will.
Mm-hmm. Again, we don't need to know.
We don't need to.
Like, our lives here are about faithfulness to him, about, you know, being faithful to,
right,
to what he's asking us to do, faithfulness to him.
Not about having that secret knowledge is how this is all going to happen.
Right.
So that's a heresy called Gnosticism, right? Nice. To have, okay, this secret knowledge, mm, that gnosis, that knowledge. Mm. So,
okay,
yeah, we're not called to have that.
Gotcha. Far from diminishing our concern to develop this earth, the expectancy of a new earth should spur us on. For it is here that the body of a new human family grows, foreshadowing in some way the age which is to come. That is why, although we must be careful to distinguish earthly progress clearly from the increase of the kingdom of God, such progress is of vital concern to the kingdom of God insofar as it can contribute to the better ordering of human society.
Yeah, so there's a lot of reactions you can have to this. Like, okay, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. You could have one reaction like, well, sweet, then we don't need to do anything, mm-hmm, right? Like, I'm just going to start throwing my trash everywhere. I'm just going to basically just make a mess of this whole thing because Christ is going to fix it all anyways, mm-hmm, right? Okay, so that paragraph is saying, no, we actually have a responsibility to do that, to do better, to care for the earth that we've been given. But then it tries to distinguish, like, caring for the world and making the our human relationships better and even our respect for creation. Doing better in that does not equate the furtherment of the kingdom of God, right? The kingdom of God is more than political progress or social progress or all of that, mm-hmm, right? But it's important for us to care for that. So, mm-hmm, that's a mm-hmm, a lot of distinctions made in that paragraph, mm-hmm, but healthy ones for us, because the gospel can so easily become like politicized, right? Like, furthering the gospel just means fewer wars, mm-hmm, which, and hopefully that is the case, mm-hmm, but fewer wars does not equal the kingdom of God growing in our midst. Mm-hmm. So, anywho, I don't know if that revealed or if that obscured things.
That was a cloud and light,
mm,
of the Holy Spirit. It was a cloud.
That's a callback to the last episode.
So was the bobby pin comment, by the way, if you were like, what was I talking about?
Yeah.
Anyway, when we record two in a row like this, we can do that because we can actually remember what we,
yeah,
said.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, what did we say last week? I don't even know.
No idea. I don't even know, yeah, what day it is. Okay. And then the last paragraph, which is especially beautiful. When we have spread on earth the fruits of our nature and our enterprise according to the command of the Lord and in his Spirit, we will find them once again, cleansed this time from the stain of sin, illuminated and transfigured when Christ presents to his Father an eternal and universal kingdom. God will then be all in all in eternal life. I just especially love that last sentence of God being all in all.
Mm-hmm.
I even think about this and the stain and the sin and all of this stuff. And then again, just the ways that he is not all in all in our own hearts, let alone in the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
So at this time, he will be all in all. Yes.
And that's the hope that we all look forward to, is the day when God will be all in all. And we prepare for that now, right? We kind of ready ourselves and we try to live as God the all for us. But then the whole creation, God will be everything.
Mm-hmm.
And look forward to that.
It's good news for all of us.
Brings hope.
Yes. Oh, there is a quote, I guess. It was on the next page, St. Cyril of Jerusalem. You want to read that?
Sure. True and subsistent life consists in this: the Father, through the Son and in the Holy Spirit, pouring out his heavenly gifts on all things without exception. Thanks to his mercy, we too, men that we are, have received the inalienable promise of eternal life.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That is so good.
Yeah. He lets us share in this eternal life, wow, far beyond our deserving it.
Wow. All right. Well, is that a wrap?
I think so.
Okay. So as you're crossing that off, I'll... the listeners, there won't be a break in the episodes, but we are going to throw two darts again today because of, again, vacation schedules and things like that. So good luck.
Thanks.
You did pretty good the last time and when we had two darts.
Where should we go?
Wherever.
Wherever
you want to go.
I don't even know where we want to go.
Okay. It's kind of, your options are getting.
They are. I'm like, where?
Where are there multiple ones,
nope,
in a row?
One God and his name, 198 to 233.
Ooh.
Whoa. Or is that 213? What do you think? 213?
I think it's 213.
All right. 198 to 213. That's much less intimidating. And then we shall go somewhere else. 198
to 213.
That is where we were.
Did you not get it?
That wasn't it. There. Oh, right in the plum center. 84 to 95, the heritage of the faith. 84 to 95, way back at the beginning.
84
to 95, wow. So we're going early in the catechism. So next week will be 198 to 213. The following week, 84 to 95. So that's where we're going. We'll see you next time. You want to take us home, Julia?
Sure thing. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 through 28. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead came also through a human being. For just as in Adam all die, so too in Christ shall all be brought to life, but each one in proper order. Christ, the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to his God and Father, when he has destroyed every sovereignty and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for he subjected everything under his feet. But when it says that everything has been subjected, it is clear that it excludes the one who subjected everything to him. When everything is subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to the one who subjected everything to him, so that God may be all in all.